This week's show is sponsored by Anne McLean of Blue Pacific Realty. She and her lovely dog, Ami, love to listen to the stories. Thank you, Anne. It is because of Anne and listeners like you that KCIW can continue to provide quality programming. Thank you. Welcome to Gima's Tales for Children. Each week, we visit a different part of the world to hear stories, legends, and myths. Some of these stories are so old that the origin has been lost in time. Some are new, and some are timeless. Join us this week as we travel to Argentina. The name of the country is literally silver in Latin. Spanish conquistadores thought this land would be rich in silver, so they conquered the Guarani people who lived here hundreds of years ago. Argentina is a beautiful country filled with vast plains. It borders the Andes. Llamas live here, as do millions of cattle. This is where the first cowboys started. They are still called gauchos. Our own cowboys learned a great deal from the gauchos. It is also home to the most romantic dance of all, the tango. For further information about Argentina for children on the internet, I suggest www.sciencekids.co.nz. What better place to start than with a story about a famous gaucho? Just like Pecos Bill in Texas, the Argentinians have a legend of Gaucho Gil. In fact, Gaucho Gil was a real person who was not only a cowboy, but is supposed to have possessed magical powers. So here is the legend of Gaucho Gil. Back in the late 1800s, Argentina was in the middle of a number of wars. Rural men were recruited to fight for the nation, and one such enforced enlistee was our hero, Gauchito Gil. The story takes place in the province of Corrientes, a humid tropical state on the Paraguayan border. Born Antonio Gil in the 1840s, Gil was a farmer who became romantically involved with Estrella Diaz de Miraflores, a wealthy widow and ranch owner. This liaison between a lowly farm worker with a high society lady was not looked upon favorably by her brothers or by the local police chief, who wanted Miraflores for himself. They conspired to accuse Gil of robbery, but before he was arrested, Gil fled, joining the army to fight against Paraguay. Stories of his bravery and courage preceded him, and he returned a war hero, only to be drafted again to fight the Civil War. It was then he took on the mantle of a cowboy bandit, deserting the army with some companions and roaming the hillsides, stealing from farms to survive. However, this theft soon transformed itself into a generous act, and Gil earned a reputation as an Argentinian Robin Hood, stealing from the rich and giving to the poor. He was protected by local peasants who respected him, and even saw him as a magical and mystical figure who could resist bullets and cure illnesses. Gil was captured by the authorities after they caught him hiding in the woods, and they prepared to bring him to a nearby town for a trial. An impatient guard cut the journey short and decided to execute Gil then and there, hanging him from a tree by his legs and torturing him. Gil's reputation for wizardry should have been heeded by the guard at this point, as he implored him to wait, saying a letter of pardon was on its way, and that the letter also had news of a sudden illness that had struck the guard's son. The guard didn't believe Gil, even when Gil told him the only way his son would survive was if the guard invoked Gil's name and asked him to save the child. Thinking this folly and unwilling to listen to the criminal cowboy, the guard killed Gaucho Gil. He would have done well to listen, as when the police officer arrived, there was, in fact, a note pardoning Gaucho Gil, and the guard's son was indeed sick. The guard panicked, and despite only recently having killed Gaucho Gil, he prayed to the outlaw to heal his son. The next day, his son was back to good health. Believing finally in the powers that Gil possessed, he arranged for a proper burial for the merciful cowboy and painted the cross above the grave red so that everyone would know the story. Now, Gaucho Gil has reached mythical status in Argentina, and although not recognized by the Catholic Church, he is considered as a sort of common law saint. It is common to ask Gil for favors, and in return his followers will leave little red crosses and little altars along the roadside with signs that say, "Thanks, Gaucho Gil." His presence is particularly felt in northern Argentina, where the legend originated, and each year, over 200,000 pilgrims visit his resting place in Mercedes, especially on January 8th, the day of his death, when festivals and celebrations take place, making the anniversary a lively occasion, just as the cowboy saint would have wanted it. Poquito is a place located in the province of San Juan, in a southern region of Argentina. Its name, which means little pit, was originated because of a very popular legend among local residents. Here is the story of the indigenous woman. Legend says that every summer, a woman came to town and stayed for the entire season. She was not tall, but very, very thin. Her skin was like rusty bronze, glowy but very wrinkled, probably because of all the sunbathing she did during the summer. Her look was deep and dark. It was like she was hiding some kind of anger inside her eyes, which changed color depending on the time of day. She always wore the same big layered skirt, a washed, dusty turban, and a ragged shawl draped around her shoulders, and she was always seen with an old, flimsy dog. The animal stayed with her for the entire season and never left her side. Every year she did the exact same thing, sat on a side of the road under an old carob tree that seemed to magically bloom with her arrival and wither away when she was gone. She sat there telling old stories to local children. The little ones loved her Indian tales. She spoke slowly, without looking at the circle of little children. In her stories they found a world of superstitions and centuries that are already gone. People could tell she enjoyed it. It was as if she was remembering some old anecdotes and childhood memories. She knew every one of the children by name and was very kind to them. She didn't like adults, almost never spoke to them, and always gave them a certain evil look, some said. She only spoke to them to sell them the little golden nuggets she carried every summer with her. She said she collected them from a nearby pit that only she could find. One day, a group of Spaniards arrived at the city. They soon learned the story about an old indigenous woman and her golden nuggets. They couldn't resist the temptation, so they followed her into the dark in order to find the pit that would make them rich and steal all the gold. Instead, they found her dog turned into an almost demonic creature with breath like fire and piercing red eyes. The men turned around and started running, trying to escape the beast while hearing a witch-like laughter coming from behind. That same night, a big earthquake hit Poquito City, and the woman was never seen again, neither was her dog or her golden nuggets. Legend says that the Spaniards never came back. After several weeks, only one of them was found. He was now a crazy man talking about ancient legends, demonic dogs, shiny magical caves, and a beautiful queen, the most beautiful woman he had ever seen. From that day on, many looked for the pit where the golden nuggets could be found, but no one ever found it. The city was named after that same little pit, and many still dream about finding it and becoming very, very rich. Who knows? Maybe someday someone will. There are stories about foxes being clever in every country. This is a story about a fox and an armadillo, or quirquinco, in the language spoken by the Incas, who originally inhabited the land. But in this one, the fox himself is outfoxed. Here is The Fox and the Quirquinco. Once upon a time, a fox and a quirquinco were very good friends. They spent a great deal of time together and had lots of fun. One day, the quirquinco decided that he was not going to waste his time doing nothing, and instead decided to do a spot of farming. He immediately set out to work and started to build a fence around a plot of land. His friend, the fox, was quite perplexed by the quirquinco's behavior. He wondered why his best friend was working so hard instead of having some fun in the sun. Seeing the quirquinco toiling away at the fence, the fox asked, "Why are you making the fence, best friend?" to sow some crops and earn some money, Fox. The fox was surprised by the answer. He started to suspect his best friend. Why did the Kirkinko want to make money? Was he trying to become richer and more famous than him? Did he want to earn a good name from the other animals and get all the attention? Suspicions such as these got the better of the fox, and he quickly made a cunning plan. Since he had more money than the Kirkinko, he decided the best thing to do would be to join up with his friend, invest in the crops, make him toil, and reap the benefits himself. This way, he wouldn't have to work too hard, but would still end up making more money than the Kirkinko. So off he went to his sweating friend and said, "You must have used up all your money buying the land and putting up the fence. Why don't I give you the money to buy the seeds to sow, dear friend? Of course, if I'm paying for the seeds, then I get to decide what part of the crop belongs to me. Fair is fair, after all, isn't it?" The Kirkinko was a smart animal, too. He immediately saw through the fox's cunning plans, but he also knew that without the fox's money, there was no way he would be able to grow any crops. So he decided to agree for the moment. "Thank you, dear friend. What would I have done without you? All my efforts would have come to nothing if not for a friend like you." "Aha! The silly fool's falling for my plan," thought the fox gleefully. "Okay, friend, so you'll do as I tell you to, right? Then, this first time, whatever grows beneath the land will belong to you, and everything that grows above it will belong to me," he said greedily. For a moment, the Kirkinko was alarmed, but then he said to himself, "I'm not going to let him get away with this. I'll teach that greedy pig a lesson." Bright and early the next morning, the Kirkinko started to prepare the field for sowing, and guess what he decided to sow? Potatoes. The fox was furious. When the crop was harvested, all the potatoes went to the Kirkinko, while all the fox got were the leaves. Not to be outdone easily, the fox said, "This crop has been very bad for me. The next time you take what grows above, and I'll take everything that grows below." Again, he felt gleeful for having outwitted his friend. The clever Kirkinko set out to work again. This time round, he tilled the land, watered it, and planted wheat. Yet again, when the crop was reaped, all the wheat came to the Kirkinko, and the fox got only the roots and the leaves. Now the fox was really angry. Each one of his attempts to get the better of the Kirkinko was proving to be disastrous. "That scoundrel's really having his cake and eating it too. Does he think I'm going to let him get away this easily? My money's being spent and he's the one getting richer. I must teach him a lesson." So he thought hard and long for a few days. When he hit upon what he thought was a brilliant plan, he called the Kirkinko. "Friend, the last two crops have been no good for me. I've spent all my money, but ended up with just leaves and roots which have no value. So it's only fair that when you sow the next crop, I get both what grows above and below the ground. You can have everything that lies in between." Accordingly, the Kirkinko got the field ready for sowing. And what do you think he planted this time? Corn. The crafty fox had been outwitted again. When the crop was harvested, the Kirkinko took all the corn that lay in between, while the greedy fox was left with mere roots and stalks. He got so angry with the Kirkinko that he spat and fumed and swore never to work with him again. As for the intelligent Kirkinko, he now had enough money to buy his own seeds and didn't need the fox's help ever again. When you visit Argentina, you will see lots of cactus. After hearing this story, you might think differently about them, because at least two just might be transformed. Here is the Inca legend about the cactus. The cactus. It was said that Quehualu was the most handsome Indian of the tribe. He was always picking up flowers for Pansincana, the beautiful daughter of the chief. Together, they learned how to walk and to play. They played in the most beautiful parts of the mountain. One day when they were older, they fell in love. But Pasincana's father wanted his daughter to marry another boy in the tribe, an excellent hunter. When Pasincana and Quehualu heard about that, they started to cry, and one day the two decided to escape together. The next day they were walking in the hills, and they made a plan. On the following day, when the first star came out, they would run away to the mountains. They ran away the following day. When the chief found out that his daughter wasn't there, he was enraged. He called together a group of men and started looking for the couple. Pasankana and Kehwalyu were tired, so they sat down for a few minutes. They were just going to sleep when a few men came. Thanks to the light of the full moon, they saw the men coming after them and asked the Pachamama, the goddess of the land, to hide them. She took pity on the young lovers and opened a hole in the mountain and hid them there. The chief shouted, "They can't hide forever!" So he and his men stayed there all that night. The next day, the lovers had changed into cactus. There was nothing the chief could do. He left his transformed daughter and her lover alone. The two cactus grew side by side, twining their limbs together. And legend has it that somewhere in the Andes, you can still find them. Just look for two cactus plants, which seem to be holding each other. They are Kehwalyu and Pasankana, still in love and together forever. Ever see a drink in the store called yerba mate? Well, it comes from the Andes in Argentina. Here's the story of how yerba mate was created. It is called The Legend of Yari. Yari, the moon, curiously looked at the deep woods with which Tupa, the powerful god of the Guaranis, had covered the earth. And little by little, her desire to come down to earth was getting stronger. So Yari called Arai, the pinkish cloud of dusk, to ask her to go down to earth with her. The following day, as they were walking along the woods, they turned into two beautiful ladies. They were getting tired when, in the distance, they saw a cottage, and they went towards it. Suddenly, they heard a noise, and it was a jaguar that was about to jump on them, when an arrow, shot by an old Guarani, hurt the beast on its side. The furious animal fell on its wound at the same time that a new arrow went through its heart. Once the fight had finished, the Guarani offered the two ladies hospitality, so they went to his hut. He lived with his wife and daughter, who treated them kindly and told them that their god, Tupa, did not like the ones who do not offer hospitality to their visitors. So the following day, Yari announced that it was time to leave. The woman and the daughter saw the two adventurous ladies to the door, and the Guarani went with them a little while. He told them why he lived in isolation. When his daughter grew up, uneasiness, anxiety, and fright invaded his spirit. So he decided to get far away from the community where he lived so that his daughter, in isolation, could keep the virtues that the god Tupa had given her. When Yari and Arai were alone, they lost their human shapes and went up to heaven, where they looked for an appropriate prize. One night, they guided the three people in the hut into a deep dream. While they were asleep, Yari sowed light blue seeds in front of the house, and from the dark sky, she lit up the place. At the same time, Arai poured a sweet and soft rain that wetted the ground. Morning came, and in front of the hut there were short, unknown trees, and their white, thick flowers appeared shyly among the dark green leaves. When the Guarani woke up and went out to go to the forest, he was astonished to see the marvel that appeared in front of his house. He called his wife and daughter, and when the three of them saw what had happened, they fell onto their knees on the wet ground. Yari, in the shape of the woman that they had met, came down and told them, "I am Yari, the goddess who lives in the moon, and I am here to give you a prize for your goodness. This new plant that you see is the yerba mate, and from now on it will be for you and for all the men of this region, the symbol of friendship. Your daughter will live forever, and she will never lose the goodness and innocence of her heart. She will be the owner of the yerba." After saying this, the goddess made them stand up and taught them how to toast the yerba and to drink the mate. After several years, time of death came for the old couple. Then, once their daughter had fulfilled her ritual obligations, she disappeared from earth. Even so, to this day, it is possible to see among the yerba fields a beautiful blonde girl whose eyes reflect the innocence and candidness of her soul. The Cinderella story even has an Argentinian version. It has a different name, but you'll see how similar it is to the story we know and love. Here is Rice from Ashes. There was a beautiful young woman named Esmeralda who lost her mother. After a while, her father remarried a woman with two daughters of her own. From the start, the stepmother and stepsisters were cruel to the girl. She had to do all the work around the house, clean the floors, wash the clothes, and feed the animals. The stepsisters did nothing but enjoy dressing up and going to town. And her father, well, he was gone on business so much that he didn't seem to notice what was happening to his poor little daughter. She had one friend. It was a lovely little lamb. Every time she went to feed the animals, the lamb would follow her. When she was sad, it seemed that the lamb would come close to comfort her. The evil stepmother, oh, how evil she was! She saw what pleasure her stepdaughter took in petting and playing with the little lamb, so one day she told the girl to kill the lamb. Esmeralda wept profusely. Please, stepmother, I'll do anything you ask, just please don't kill the little lamb. Her stepmother took a plate of rice and spilled it into the ashes in the hearth. All right, if you can separate each grain of rice from the ashes by the time I wake up from my nap, the lamb can live. She left Esmeralda and went to her sleeping chamber. The girl just sobbed. How could she separate the rice from the ashes in time? And the little lamb just nudged her with his muzzle, seeming to tell her, all will be well. Suddenly, a dove flew in the window. In a soft, cooing voice, it said, Esmeralda, go take a nap and I will clean the rice from the ashes. Do not worry. So the girl, not sure but trusting nevertheless, left the hearth and went to her little cot in the attic. The dove flew to the window and called in an entire flock of doves, and they separated the rice from the ashes in no time at all. When her stepmother awoke from her nap, she was shocked to see the rice piled neatly and separated from the ashes. That girl must have some strange tricks I don't know about. The next day, the stepmother poured sand into lentils for the task which she gave to her stepdaughter. If you cannot separate this sand from lentils, then the lamb must die. I will take my nap now and be quick about your work. The white dove flew into the window as soon as the stepmother had disappeared and told Esmeralda that all would be taken care of. The dove told her to take a nap while the work was done. She climbed up into her little cot in the attic and went to sleep. The flock of birds busily set about their task, and before you could count to three, all the sand was separated into one pile and all the lentils into another. The following day, the stepmother decided that she would give her a task so difficult that not even the smallest fingers could do the work. She grabbed a jar of sugar and threw it onto the hearth. Stepdaughter, this time I will see you kill your lamb, for there is no way you can separate the sugar from the ashes in the hearth. Now I go take my nap, and you better get ready for the killing. The stepmother went to her room to take her nap. Esmeralda was heartbroken. Even the doves couldn't separate sugar from ashes. To her surprise, the dove didn't appear at the window. Instead, an ant crawled on the window ledge and called to her in a wee voice.
You are a kind girl, and you always take care of all the animals, and we know how difficult your life is here. Leave this to us and go take a nap. We will make it all right when you return.
She climbed the stairs to the attic and took a nap on her little cot, comforted by the thought that her little lamb would be saved. It took an army of ants to sort that sugar from the ashes, but in really no time at all, they had done a wonderful job of it, all the sugar stacked in one heap and all the ashes in another. Then quickly, they crawled back over the window ledge and out into the garden. The next day, the stepmother gave Esmeralda two large bags of wool to spin. This time, the little lamb stepped in to help. When the stepmother came down from her nap, she looked at the spun wool, but alas, there was one tiny stray piece of wool on the lamb's back. Kill the beast, she cried with much satisfaction. Sobbing, Esmeralda clung to the little lamb, but then to her amazement, the lamb whispered,
Do not worry, my beautiful friend, for this is supposed to happen. Have me killed, but be sure and collect the gold cup that you will find inside of me. You must keep the cup forever.
She had to have the lamb killed. She lost her only friend. She was lonely and sad all the time, and her evil stepmother just smiled with satisfaction. Fairy tales have a way of changing in the middle of the direst of straits. As she was collecting water at the stream near their house, a little man came up to her and asked for a drink She pulled the gold cup she kept with her, it was really all she had to remember the lamb by, and gave him a drink. The old man smiled and thanked her, and then turned around and walked away back down the path into the forest. Days and weeks went by. Esmeralda's stepsisters decided to punish her even more by asking their mother to buy them lambs. The stepsisters' lambs ate all the grass, and the mother insisted on butchering them. The lambs told each sister in turn to find the gold cup and to be good to others. And after the lambs had been killed, each one found a gold cup inside their lamb. And each, within a matter of a few days, met the little man to whom Esmeralda had been so kind. When he asked them for a drink of water, however, they refused and laughed at him, saying, "Go away, little creature, you don't belong here. Get your own drink, you homeless beggar. Why should I do anything for the likes of you?" Now, there was a prince in town whose mother told him on her deathbed that he would marry a girl with a gold cup, since it had been predicted by his godmother, who was a fairy at his birth. He made an announcement in town for all the young women with gold cups to be presented to him. But there were no girls with golden cups, that is, except for the ones that lived in one particular house near one particular stream. Of course, the stepmother was excited. Here was an opportunity for her daughters to marry well. She had been surprised when they had shown her the golden cups, and now she realized that there must be some magic in it all. She had no idea that Esmeralda had also received a golden cup from her lamb. So the stepmother went to the king and told him to have the prince come to meet her daughters with their gold cups. When the prince arrived, the two stepsisters shoved one another to be the first to present the cup to the prince. The stepmother told the older girl to show the cup. The prince saw the gold cup and assumed this was who he was to marry. The prince put her on his horse and started for the palace. Along the way, a dove sang out of a tree that he had the wrong girl. He asked to see the cup again, and it was now iron. He turned back and let the girl down off his horse. Knocking on the door, he explained what had happened. The evil stepmother was somewhat flustered, but quickly called for her other daughter and explained that there had been a mistake. This was indeed the girl with the golden cup who was to be his bride. The prince mounted his horse again with the second stepsister and set forth for his castle. To his surprise, as he was passing through the forest, he heard a dove call out to him that he still had the wrong girl. He looked at her cup again, and it had become iron. So the prince turned his horse around and took her home. As he was leaving the yard, he happened to notice Esmeralda feeding the chickens. She was tall, fair, and beautiful, yet dressed in rags. "Who is this?" he asked the stepmother, who replied, "Oh, she's no one, just a poor kitchen wench, and we let her sleep in the ashes." But he was intrigued, so he walked over to the chicken yard and asked her if she, too, might have a golden cup. Esmeralda curtsied, wiped her hands on her apron, and reached into her pocket and pulled out a beautiful little golden cup. "It is very precious to me, sire, and I do not wish to part with it." The prince smiled and said that would not be necessary, but that she must come with him to the palace. There was nothing the stepmother could do. She hadn't even known that Esmeralda had a gold cup, so grudgingly she let her go. The prince put her on the horse to go to the palace, and as they went through the forest, the dove told him he had the right girl. He asked to see her cup again, and it was still gold. Esmeralda finally was freed of her wicked stepmother and two evil stepsisters. For all I know, they are angry still, and no doubt grinding their teeth and pulling out their hair. As for Esmeralda, she and the prince did marry. She became a kind and generous queen, and of course, they lived happily ever after. We've come to the end of our time together today. If you have a story you'd like to hear, please feel free to write me with your request. If you've written a children's story and would like to share it, let me know as well. You can email me at gima@kciw.org. See you next week. Same time, same place, but very different stories. We'll be traveling to the great deserts of the world to hear stories of mystery and adventure. The Mongolian Desert, the Sahara, the Mojave, and some lesser-known regions have some great stories in them. Have fun and let your imagination soar. This is Gima saying goodbye and happy reading.